It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Comedian Kumail Nanjiani grew up in Pakistan. He came to the United States to go to Grinnell College, and now he's conquering Hollywood as the writer and director of the new romantic comedy, The Big Sick, coming out in July. He's well known for his stand-up, for podcasts, and for talking about some of his nerdier passions, like gaming.
You guys into video games at all?
Yeah, oh my God.
I play Call of Duty. You know, my issue with Call of Duty, those games, is that they're based on, like, real wars, like World War II and shit, which feels weird to me because, like, real people died, and now I have to kill them all over again. So I have a moral problem. I'm like, boycott those games. But the new one came out, and it looked so good. I was like, all right, I'll try it. Then I found out that one of the levels in the new Call of Duty is called Karachi. Yep, the city I grew up in. They're basically like, your hometown is now a battlefield. How many points can you get, Kumail? But even with that, I was able to convince myself, you know? Like, I was like, I would have an advantage over everybody. I would know all the places. I would be like, hey, we can hide in there, guys. I used to rent movies at this place. Mr. Siddiqui will give us shelter. He once fixed my VCR for free.
That was just a moment from his stand-up special, Beta Male, from 2013. And Kumail Nanjiani is coming back to Iowa. He'll be speaking at the commencement ceremony at Grinnell College on Monday, May 22nd. And he is here with me now. Hello, Kumail.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm realizing I'm not comfortable hearing my own voice.
Well, welcome to radio. there's this... Speaking of your stand-up, you have this great bit about trying to be cool when you were in high school in Pakistan. It's very funny, and people should look for it. But after high school, you clearly set out to pick the coolest destination in the world, Iowa. So how did that happen? Karachi, Pakistan to Grinnell, Iowa.
Well, I mean, I didn't really understand that different, like, places in America were really that different. I just knew stuff from, like, movies and TV shows, so I kind of assumed everything was New York or LA. And then I got to Iowa, and I was like, oh, I was misinformed. This does not match the advertising at all. And I know everyone knows Field of Dreams is in Iowa, but that's really the exception.
So was there a little bit of culture shock when you arrived at Grinnell?
Yeah, I mean, there was a culture shock, not just because, I mean, for me, there would have been a culture shock no matter where I went. There was a culture shock in Iowa because, one, I was in a different country, but also I was in a fairly small town surrounded by a pretty, like, rural farming environment, and I wasn't used to that. I'm from, like, a very big, busy city, you know?
At Grinnell, as you were studying and thinking about the future, what did you think you would do with your education?
I assumed that I would probably get some kind of computer programming job or something, and I assumed that that's probably what I would do for the rest of my life. Like, that's sort of what I went in thinking I'd do, and yeah, that's just sort of what I assumed I would do. I didn't think I'd veer off that.
Well, again, in your stand-up, you talk a lot about watching a lot of movies when you were younger. What point did you start thinking maybe there might be something in the entertainment industry for you?
It wasn't really until, like, my senior year of college in Grinnell that I was like, oh, I should try comedy. That was the first time I actually thought about it. It just felt like, you know, I would watch these movies and TV shows, but it felt like they were made by, I don't know, it felt like they were magically sort of summoned from thin air. It didn't feel a practical choice to make. Not even practical. I mean, a possible choice to make. So I didn't really think about it till my senior year of college. And then I'd sort of really, really fallen in love with stand-up comedy. I was watching a lot of stand-up comedy. And my senior year, I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to try it just once just to see what it feels like.
Tell me about that first time you tried stand-up.
Oh, it was probably to this day still the best setup I've ever had in my life. I mean, it was all stacked in my favor. I was in a very small coffee shop on the Grinnell campus called Bob's Underground, and I was sort of, it was packed, and I was surrounded by, you know, surrounded by friends, or at least people from the college who were there to see, you know, fellow students performing stand-up. So it was the most positive, supportive crowd possible. And I went up and I did like a half hour of material, which is unthinkable to do a half hour of material the first time you do stand-up. That doesn't happen.
That's a lot.
It is, but I just sort of was like, oh, people do this. This is how long people do stand-up for. And I wasn't alone. I did it with a couple of other friends of mine who also wanted to try it. So I tried it. I did about a half hour. And I think that the confidence I got from that set sort of sustained me over the first few months of, you know, actually doing it in the real world in Chicago. It really was like it could not have gone better.
Well, you have described yourself as being really shy when you got to college. You've mentioned in previous interviews having a fear of public speaking. So connect these dots for me. Where did this come from?
I don't know. I mean, I remember knowing that my fear of public speaking was something that I needed to work on, not because I was looking at stand-up as a career or anything, but I just knew, like, I'm just too shy. I'm too scared of talking to new people. So when I went to Grinnell, my freshman year tutorial, I signed up for a class called Stories, Storytelling, and Audiences. And I knew that at the end of that semester, you had to write a story and perform the story in front of the other students. So I did that because I knew that would force me to really go out of my comfort zone and do some public speaking. But that was very, very difficult. Even though that went well, I remember like running that story over and over and over again in my head. And then performing stand-up was also really, really scary that first time. And it was actually really scary, you know, for the first couple of years, that fear of public speaking. I would say it took me 5 years to actually not feel nervous before going on stage. So I wanted to do it so badly. Like, I wanted to write jokes and get my jokes out there, and stand up was the most efficient and quickest way to do that. So that's kind of why I did it. And the stage fright was something that I just had to battle through to get to what I needed to get to.
So your first experiences in the United States were in Iowa at Grinnell College, and then you went to Chicago. So you spent a lot of time in the Midwest. How do you think that shaped your comedy?
That's interesting. Doing stand-up in Iowa really helped because it was a very, very, very supportive environment, and actually really helped me acclimate to the U.S. because it wasn't like a busy, packed city like New York or something. I had sort of enough room to figure out who I was and what I wanted to do and where I was and all that stuff. And then Chicago, it's more of a city, so it was something I was definitely more used to. I felt like the good thing about sort of starting out comedy in Chicago was Chicago has this history of comedians and comedy, like a lot of really big, great people have come out of Chicago. So when you perform in Chicago, you're very aware of sort of the city's comedy legacy. And also the other comedians really sort of, the comedians really policed each other in Chicago. They really wanted to make sure that nobody was doing anything hack or anything that was easy or anything that wasn't unique. So that really, really helped. That really helped me to sort of, in my own comedy, emphasize being unique and original and having a point of view. So, you know, if I started in L.A. or something, everyone's kind of looking to do comedy to get a TV show. But in Chicago, nobody was making money doing it. People were just doing it to do it. It was kind of pure.
Now, Grinnell is kind of a famously welcoming community. A lot of your comedy revolves around racial issues and the fact that you're an immigrant and, of course, an ethnically Muslim individual. And here we are in this environment that is far more racially charged than in recent years. But I'm curious, again, if there was a bit of culture shock as an immigrant moving from Grinnell then to Chicago.
At that point, not really. I will say, though, I mean, being in Grinnell gave me a false sense of security because, as you said, it is famously welcoming, and people were curious about where I was from, but I always felt very, I just felt part of that community. People were very interested in engaging with me and asking me about where I was from, and they had a high level of curiosity about it, which I think was great. In Grinnell, in Iowa, I never felt being defined by my ethnicity, whereas in Chicago, that did happen, specifically because my first few months in Chicago, 9/11 happened. So my ethnicity at that point really became very visible to myself, and I think to everybody else around me as well. So when I was doing stand-up, I really felt this, like, I could feel the audience feeling awkward about me being up there. And I sort of combated that by not talking about race at all, which is, I think, what I needed to do to become a comedian. It's just what I needed to do. But, yeah, I mean, I had people say stuff to me while I was on stage. I had people say stuff to me while I was on the street. Not a lot. I mean, being in Chicago, which is sort of a pretty friendly big city, was helpful, but yeah, it was a little bit of a wake-up call going from Grinnell to Chicago.
I want to talk about your movie, and a lot of your comedy is autobiographical, and the movie is at least somewhat autobiographical as well. This is The Big Sick, coming out in July, and you co-wrote this with your wife, right?
Yes, Emily V. Gordon and I wrote it together.
So tell me about the story.
So the story is, first of all, I want to preface that it is a comedy. So when I'm describing it to you, it's going to sound like it's not a comedy, but it really is. And it's sort of about, in real life, when Emily and I were first dating, you know, I had some pressure, I had a lot of pressure from my family to sort of marry a Muslim girl. And, you know, where I'm from, it's mostly arranged marriage. So that sort of stuff was, you know, the gears were spinning. And Emily and I started dating in just a few months. And again, this is what happened. But the movie is a comedy. Emily got really sick and fell into a coma for 8 days. And her parents came into town. And so the movie is sort of the story of how Emily and I meet, but it's also the story of me and her parents hanging out for those 8 days while she's sort of absent. So that's what the movie is about.
And you're playing yourself in the movie.
Yes, I am.
And Ray Romano is playing your movie spouse's or girlfriend's father. as well. So in writing about your relationship, although obviously this is a fictionalized account, that seems like an incredibly vulnerable thing to do. Does that feel more vulnerable to not only write about your relationship, turn it into a movie, and then play yourself? Is that even more vulnerable than comedy?
Oh, yes. It's much, much more vulnerable. But really, it a little bit was a little bit like therapy, you know? I mean, there was this big sort of crazy thing that happened to us, and we got through it, and, you know, when you think back on those times, you think of it as like, oh, yeah, that sort of crazy thing that happened, and that's how you define it. But in writing this movie, we really had to sort of open up that black box and sift through it and see what all was in there, and, you know, all those specific feelings and memories came flooding back. So it really was like therapy, like it was this big scary thing that happened, and whenever we thought about it, you know, it was kind of paralyzing, and then having to write about it very directly, and then for me having to, in a way, actually try and live through it again. Ultimately, I think, even though it was difficult, it's a very positive thing. I feel like it really helped me understand some of the. It's just an event now that I can sort of reckon with, whereas earlier it was, like I said, it was a little paralyzing to think about.
The movie's coming out in July, and there's this other huge thing happening in your life as well, where you get to give a commencement address at Grinnell College. Okay, maybe not as big as having your first feature film. But since you're coming back to Iowa in just a couple of days to give this commencement address, can you tell me one piece of advice you'll be passing along to the graduates at Grinnell this year?
You know, it was tough. I actually... writing this speech is tough because it's like, I don't know what advice to give. I don't know what I'm doing.
But you're done with the speech? You've finished it?
I have written it. I need to pare it down. It's a little too long right now, but I have been working on it and I have written it. I would say the one piece of advice that really helped me was, and I wasn't able to articulate it until years later, was, you know, I didn't have like some big grand plan. I was just like, I would just sort of think about where I was and what I wanted to do next. So I would just sort of think of the next step. Like, so 10 years ago, you told me like, all right, you have to go write a movie and then star in it. That would feel insurmountable. But I sort of took tiny baby steps towards it without realizing that that's where I was heading towards. So I would say the only advice I really have is, I don't think you need to have some big grand plan. If you do, great, but just try and be intentional about what you want to do today and what you want to do tomorrow, and then trust that, you know, all the little baby steps will lead somewhere.
Kumail Nanjiani, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you for having me.
Kumail Nanjiani, he graduated from Grinnell College in 2001. He's coming back to give the commencement address on Monday, May 22nd. His feature film, The Big Sick, will be coming out in July. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.